All lines are now bridged.
All right, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to good afternoon, sorry, everyone. Welcome to the HITECH Annual Report Workgroup meeting. My name is Seth Pazinski. I'll be serving as the designated federal officer in place for Lauren Ritchie for today's workgroup meeting. I'm going to officially call the meeting to order. We'll start with a roll call. Carolyn Peterson.
Good afternoon.
Aaron Meary.
Hello.
Christina Caraballo.
Hi, I'm here.
And Brett Oliver.
Here.
All right. Well, that completes our roll call. So I'll turn it over to Carolyn and Aaron to get us started with today's meeting agenda.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hard to believe that we're meeting again after that rapid fire discussion we had at the fall HITECH meeting a couple of weeks ago. But time marches on, and here we are. Today, our primary goal is to review the feedback we got from HITECH members at the meeting in September, and also to look a little bit at our next steps for the next few weeks. And with that, I will hand the mic to Aaron for his comments.
Yeah, I really think today, first of all, I appreciate everybody being on this call. I think today really is for us to kind of suss through all that feedback and to discuss, you know, what that does in terms of any kind of deliverables. And it's all good feedback. We want to make sure we encapsulate it, incorporate it, and respond to what's appropriate there so that the HITECH feels that all of their comments were addressed in a timely manner. And also, Christina particularly, I'll be curious as we go along, maybe not today, but in future meetings, how we structure the document to make sure that it makes logical sense, because there was a lot of material that came back from week before last from folks. So be looking for that. But other than that, let's kick this off. Carolyn, do you want to get started, and I'll pick up the mid part and to the end?
Sure. Let's go to the next slide. Thank you. So here's our meeting schedule today, October 8. We have our tasks for today. Then we have quite a long break up to November 26. Aaron and I had kind of been noodling and thinking maybe there are things we can do by email, offline, asynchronously, if there are documents to review or further ponderings we want to make about what to include or how to incorporate information. We then have another meeting on December 13 where we will look at trying to wrap up whatever the loose ends may be with a goal of presenting that draft document in January to the fall HITECH and finalizing it in February. Next slide, please. So the review for HITECH, we will give a very brief status update next week at the 16th. There will be some sort of update on the HITECH meeting on November 13. Then there's no meeting, of course, in December. And our goal is to bring the draft to the full committee in January and then finish it up in February. Next slide, please. So this is the part where we launch into the discussion about all of the great feedback we got at the September 17 meeting. I thought that was a really interesting and exciting discussion, and it was great to see people so engaged in it. I think last year we were all kind of scratching our heads about what to include, what not to include, what's the process. And this year people are really diving into it nice and early, which helps us and gives us a lot to discuss. So just looking at some of the member suggestions for the annual report, this slide, we're looking at interoperability as a priority target area. Increase interoperability of data from outside sources. In that landscape analysis, this was already covered in the health information exchange subsection. In the version that we had most recently within the interoperability priority target area, there's some mention on page 8, and it's also discussed in the synopsis on page 1. In terms of the gap, sharing and integration of outside data across the care continuum, you know, is still challenging because of a large scope, a complex problem. We've got a couple opportunities. We could look at treatment use cases across the care continuum. to identify opportunities for optimization, and also speeding up the process to add common, well-defined structured data elements to data sets. And we haven't really determined the high-tech activity yet around that. The next slide, please. So, again, some more in this target area, managing the large scope of sharing electronic health information. We can add some kinetic subsection into the landscape analysis. For the gap, we would need a process for prioritization of adding data to data sets. It may be that there's some discussion for us to have with this US CDI work group to make that happen. I think it would be kind of hard to do that on our own. There's an opportunity in that we could establish a process that sets some targets for data to be exchanged and used. And again, we don't have high-tech activity determined yet. So I'm interested in getting some discussion about the things that we can be looking at for the interoperability priority target area.
Carolyn, you're just listening in the group some feedback? Is that what you're asking for?
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, I certainly think research came up a number of times as a gap.
Yes.
So do we want to go back to the first slide and think of recommended high-tech activity? Is that what we're trying to look at here? Because we've got TBD.
I think that more refers to the fact that there hasn't been a high-tech activity determined yet. I think certainly we can include this information and these ideas in the report itself, in the landscape, in the gap perhaps. And if we want to take that a bit further in the opportunities area, it's a little hard to figure out if we're going to wind up having a high-tech activity, because that's a decision by the whole group, perhaps in concert with ONC, you know, in terms of what resources they have to support work that we want to do. So it seems good for us to think about how to bring it into the report, at least, even if we aren't able to do real work around it.
Okay, great. I wanted to see how I should frame my comments, and I guess that's kind of more the future activities, which is a later section and discussion anyway. I think these are great discussion points, and the one on the managing the large EHI and kind of the difference between the full export of all EHI and the small narrow set that is US CDI has been coming up a lot on the US CDI task force calls as well, and I believe ISP is also kind of starting to think about that. So I think that's a really good section to add.
And also, I would add one more thing, which is that, and I'm seeing this even in my day job, which is that depending on the kinds of data, since we're talking about all sorts of data now across the care continuum, the kinds of data you're exchanging within organizations and across different organizations, you could inadvertently run afoul of STARC, depending on the types of data you're sharing, and could that be inferred of in trying to incite referrals, even though it's not your intent. So there are some legal discussions and questions, I think, as more data and types of data is shared beyond just clinical encounter data, that may need to be addressed, and or regulatory items that need to be addressed and modernized to handle the types of data that can be shared now.
Yeah, definitely. I think that this particular activities and discussion in this area, I think, are particularly relevant, not just to what high-tech's been doing, but kind of in the larger environment.
Yep.
Did you have any thoughts, Brett?
No, the biggest issue I had, I don't want to get ahead of ourselves here, but was this discrepancy between reality and what people want. And with both the legislation saying all data And then we're really right now just talking about US CDI. When poor Christine and Terry presented, you know, they just get hammered, like, you're talking 2 to 3 years. But that's the reality. And we can all pretend that it should happen faster. We can pound our fist. We can act as if we're outraged. And I guess I'm seeing that as something that we can approach as an educational piece. Like, what is the fastest way? You know, if you said this is an emergency, we have to get, what's the fastest way you can get something added to the USC? Because there is the practical part. You can shove it in there and then end up with a worse nightmare than you had without the data. And I get the somewhat feigned outrage that was there about how that's just too long. It's just that we can't, but that's the reality of the technology landscape that we live in right now. And I don't know, that to me was just kind of an overarching part when you're talking about US CDI and all data and which data, and that I came away with the feedback that we got, that I think that's, while it's not listed as a specific comment or feedback, that maybe something we want to add as an educational part to our report.
The reality of some of the reality of data provenance, the reality of it.
I wish we could say tomorrow we want ejection fraction added, and then in 60 days we'd have that added. But we all know that that's just not the way it works. And we're really going to put some of these vendors, and I'm not sticking up for the vendors here. I understand, you know, they've been part of the problem over time as well. But there is the reality that they've only got so much R&D funding, and there are going to be some things delayed that are going to help healthcare in other regards to get, say, a researcher their particular data set that they want. And,
right.
You know, balancing that all out, who makes that call?
No, you're right. Yeah. I think that's a great point, Brett.
Yeah, I'd agree with Brett, and I think it is about finding that balance. And I think a good area for the landscape analysis would be, like, what is that process that a data element has to go through? I mean, US CDI has looked at it within our task force, but that understanding for the market to understand, to like better grasp what it takes to get a data element ready for US CDI, that's really like prime time. That's when it's more perfect. The standards are tested, they're validated. But, you know, we want everything, and I'm a culprit of this too, we want everything like yesterday. So it's like, what's the reality and how do we engage stakeholders that are interested in data, making it into US CDI to understand the process through this landscape analysis to be able to better advocate for the data and get it ready so that vendors are competent to implement and update their systems with vetted data for US CDI. And I think also looking at this landscape analysis of that in between that keeps coming up, which is on our which came up at our high-tech meeting.
And sort of to dovetail that, so what's the process of getting it ready and most prepared for a vendor? But then let's say there's 100 of them. What's the process of prioritizing that? That's sort of been an elephant in the room, not with us, but with our high-tech. And maybe that's not for us to decide, but at least to put in our report of the landscape, like there's going to be a big rush to get whatever my priority done. Does ONC make that? Who prioritizes what goes first? Because there has to be some prioritization process.
Yeah, I guess, you know, Brett, you bring up a good point. And is it worthwhile, since US CDI is a key, I think, a cornerstone to enabling the 21st Century Cures Act for all intents, you know, from TEFCA to information blocking to everything else, is it worth us giving some real-world use cases as to what the provider community is experiencing, what the clinicians are experiencing, you know, you, yourself as a clinician, what the vendor community is experiencing, and why US CDI has to be a process gate versus just a free-for-all? I mean, I'll give you a real-world example. This is a meeting I came from an hour ago, right? I have a lot of data-hungry people here. I have a giant research institution. They want the raw data from the electronic medical record and all the systems because they want to pull their own reports, even though I provide enterprise dashboards. And I have to provide a normalized, structured, multidimensional database for these researchers to pull from, but that's numerous data sources that got to be normalized that they can pull from. If they pull it raw, they're going to get results all over the map, right? So, I mean, that is a gated process that has to take time. And I'm just, you know, UT, much less the country. So if you think about it and extrapolate out, that is has to be a process. You have to normalize and have normalized data dictionaries and whatnot. Otherwise, you won't be able to infer anything from the data. It'll just be random data points. So, I mean, I think you make a good point, Brett, that people just may not understand that.
Right. So does the government, does ONC say, we've got three priority areas, and congestive heart failure, research on Down syndrome, you know, whatever they are. And then so that helps that process or whatever gets developed to say, oh, wow, yeah, your chromosome analysis, that fits in with one of the priorities. So that's going to get raised up to not a fast track, but to the first priority. It's just,
right.
Again, there's just thousands of data points. And I just, as soon as this process gets finalized and it gets opened up, I know ONC is smart. It's not like somebody else isn't thinking about this, but I think as we know it right now, part of our landscape analysis should be this gap of, well, how are things prioritized once we determine the process to get things ready?
Great point.
Yeah, that's embedded within our recommendations for USCDI, and we have a work group meeting this Friday to discuss what our final recommendations are going to be. So it's still, they're still not finalized, but we are looking at kind of how these data elements are viewed, and based on current discussion, we have it so that, you know, it's very much benchmark style. Like it's very easy to get in and a very high bar to make it to USCDI, but it's more, and this was based on Cheryl's feedback, a more fluent process to get through. And when you're ready, you're ready. And what we're thinking through right now is like that review process. And as our draft recommendations stand, we're looking at ONC giving HITACH all of the their recommendations for on an annual basis, the USCDI data elements to be considered based on that technical readiness. And then the HITACH would evaluate them based on looking at the balance between industry need, national need, and the technical requirements and industry burden for providers and developers to get them ready for USCDI. But I think we're still kind of thinking through a lot of this, and there's unknown. So another thing we're looking at is an evaluation of the whole process on an annual basis to make changes and updates that we're just unaware of. We just don't know how many data elements are going to make it through in the first year. Could be hundreds, it could be five.
That's a big spread.
Yeah, we just don't know.
True.
So many things we don't know.
Yeah. I'm just trying to recall if I have seen anything, any use cases or something that is similar enough to a use case that we could cite it and include URLs to it so that we don't wind up trying to write these ourselves. I think the use case approach, you know, showing the difference between the real world and kind of what HITACH and some of us perhaps think is optimal is a good strategy, but it strikes me that's not reporting per se. It's coming up with new content, and that, you know, might be a challenge for our team and for our support staff.
Yeah, I know that there's been numerous publications out there. We just have to find it. Government research. I want to say, yeah, I remember even seeing something by NIST not too long ago on some data elements and things like that. So I'm sure they're out there. You know, this is not, I think what Brett brings up is something I think all of us in the industry have known for some time, and to talk about the complexity of it. So hopefully, Carolyn, we can source that from known, well-known sources and vetted sources. I feel confident of that.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, shall we move on?
Yeah, why don't you take the next part of the discussion?
All right, so we'll go back to this slide, the EHI one, managing large scope of data. Wait, did we just do that one? No, so now we're at...
We should be at slide number 8, I think.
Yeah, let's go to slide 8, please.
9, okay. Emerging issues, anyway, whatever slide that is.
All right. Accelerated use of electronic sources for data for quality improvement in measurement, administrative simplification of billing data, association between EHRs and patient safety. Okay, these are all the items that were brought up. Certain business models with barriers to interoperability, which that's an interesting one. Cooperative use of data and data platforms, automation and pre-auth process, increased price transparency at the point of care, stakeholder considerations across the care continuum. I mean, all of this kind of ties back to what we were just saying, right? That we need to be able to sort of sort through what the relevant research is, or am I missing some of these points that were made on these?
I think that that's pretty fair. You know, at sort of the 35,000-foot level, we don't need to revisit every detail about every idea that's in the transcript. I think the question is, how do we address these meaningfully, or do we put some in a parking lot, or, you know, what? How do we be responsive to the high tech?
Right. I'm also thinking, you know, Brett, this is, I'm going to point this at you. Is there a way to rank these based on, call it, impact to patient care? I mean, I don't know if you're seeing what I'm trying to visualize, like, there's got to be some sort of, not that price transparency isn't important. I think that's a critical element, and I'm all about being transparent. But if you don't know a med list or an allergy list of a patient, that could potentially be lethal versus the patient doesn't know how much they're going to pay for their MRI. Again, not saying it's not important, but there's got to be some sort of lens of, okay, this one really can move the needle if we fixed it, right? What do you think about that?
No, I think, you know, we do that already with, let's say, you know, we're an Epic shop. We've got an enhancement request or some kind of change to the system. Well, what's the impact? How many users? How, you know, what patient care? You can throw finance in there. Is there an impact to revenue? But to have some kind of, again, prioritization process with that, and you can even break it down. You can have a clinical aspect to it. You can have a financial aspect. You could have a public health aspect to it, because certainly being able to reconcile your specific Aaron Meary's med list is different from, you know, understanding a population and that impact. So, yeah, I mean, we certainly have developed some internal models for some of the things I just mentioned, but I don't know, maybe y'all know, if there's something at a more national level. Again, it comes down to those priorities. Yeah, I think we could all agree on, you know, allergies, med lists, some of those things being pretty critical. I'm not aware of a tool that exists that we wouldn't have to suggest be built.
Right, but maybe that's it. If it doesn't exist, maybe that is something that's needed that would help USCDI, right? Because then they would be able to know what to rank and or how to ingest the request, if assuming the onslaught of additional data elements is at, you know, comes at them, well, there'll be something to rank it against.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
I like Brett's idea of having categories for awareness and not just focusing on one. Because if you rank it, I think it can be dangerous to just rank based on one category. For example, price cost transparency just brought up as maybe not being as important as others, while it's very important. But if you look at it from the patient perspective, I mean, some patients are foregoing treatments just because they're scared of healthcare bills. So I don't know. I just would caution us to look, understand what the buckets are and not just have a black and white ranking system. But I agree with the comments that it would be very helpful.
Fair points. Very fair points. Carolyn, anything?
No, I agree with that, with both sides, that sometimes what is valuable to the patient might seem less important to the system, but the patient's choices based upon what's important to them can have really significant impact downstream.
Fair. Very fair points. Okay. And Brett, I think you were trying to say something.
No, I was just going to say, just add, you know, and you can, we can put some objective data to this, you know, ranking of 1 to 10, this card in different categories. But then at the end of the day, there still needs to be that overriding body that says, okay, here's the top 10. Do you agree with that? Because sometimes the way you set these models up, you're like, you know, that really, it just doesn't feel right that that's a 10. It really should be up at 1 and allow somebody at an executive level, government level, whatever, to adjust that a little bit. But anyway, that's getting probably too far in the weeds than we need to.
Good points. All, no, it's all good points. Okay. All right, let's go on to the next slide. All right. Next, we'll go through the draft outline for the progress. All right, so...
Aaron, this is Michelle. Yeah. Could I ask you a question? Could you back up to the slide with the list of emerging issues?
Yeah. So yes,
what
ma'am.
What I was hoping for the purpose of ONC development for helping the work group was that you might walk through some of these and have a quick discussion of do you want us to continue researching any of these to bring back some information to you so we can have a more robust discussion? Is that something also that you would find helpful to do right now? It would help ONC, but
I think that makes sense.
Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead, Carolyn.
Sorry, Aaron.
Or
that was Christina,
huh?
Jumping in. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, please. Christina, go for it.
No, I was thinking as we were moving on, maybe we should go through, because I think some of these already exist in the report. And if we do a quick go through, it could help Michelle and her team just identify where we think these exist or if more research is needed. But sorry, I didn't mean to jump in.
No, that's fair.
I have some notes about where these things exist already, if they do. Going back to that list of additional emerging issues, the first one, accelerated use of electronic sources of data. That's on page 6. The administrative simplification and use of billing data and clinical outflow workflow, that's page 5. And one thing that occurred to me is that maybe that's something that can be tag-teamed with ONC's work in reducing the clinical burden of work. I mean, they're not the same things, but there's certainly some synergies there.
Let me interrupt 1 second. When we say the page numbers, that's actually referring to the transcript that I had shared with the work group.
Okay.
I think most of these are not yet in the landscape analysis. That's why we were bringing it up to find out if we want to do more work to then bring them back so we can add them to our list that's already in the landscape analysis. Because remember, there's a section on emerging issues at the end right now that has 2 or 3 things, and we're adding things like the 5G question, and de-identification. So there are a handful we already have, and I think what we're trying to find out from you is, do you want to add more of these to that list with a sentence or two about each one, and then do any of them rise up to the level of an actual paragraph further up in the analysis, the landscape analysis? Yeah, so right now they don't exist yet, but we want to know if you want us to pursue them further.
Well, I think probably the high tech would expect to see them in the list, at least with a sentence or two about them. I'm open to what the group thinks about which, if any, that we pursue further, but I think we can't really ignore them because we made a point of asking for feedback.
And you had also mentioned the idea of a parking lot for the next report for 2020, so you could also let me know if there are any that you want to kind of park there and let people know that we'll get to them eventually. It might not be this report. So that's another question. Do you want them in this year's report or next year's?
I think we can better answer that when we have a sense of what will be covered at the October high-tech meeting and maybe get some foreshadowing of what would happen at the November meeting. Part of the parking lot question is whether there is some results forthcoming from all of the NPRM discussions and work that the task forces did this year. If we know that relatively soon, that gives us some pointers about what to do with a lot of this stuff. If we don't know that, it gets harder because we kind of can't see what's around the corner. Certainly that won't be the whole deciding factor, but that would influence, I think, what we move on and what we have to sit on. What do you think, Aaron?
No, I agree with you, and I was also thinking that some of these are being addressed already, you know, like case in point, the association between EHRs and patient safety. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to disagree that that's not a critical item we should talk about. But, I mean, that's been extensively covered. You know, ONC has done a great job already sort of trying to catalog some of that and talk about that, even in terms of, you know, physician burden, patient burden, all sorts of things. So I do wonder if there's elements here, Michelle, where it could be referred to existing research already ongoing or bodies of work that has already been cataloged by ONC versus having to recreate the wheel. Is that possible?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I just think they're all important, depending on how you look at them. And I would hate to try to come up with that ranking we were talking about earlier just between the four of us. I think that should be the whole high-tech looking at this. But to me, all of them deserve at least a sentence.
Okay. Yeah, and sometimes, like the one you were just talking about, once we look into it further and verify, maybe it belongs in the federal activities section at the beginning of the landscape analysis rather than emerging issues, but that's easily resolved once we look further into them. So I'm sort of hearing so far that you want us to continue on with this list, you know, develop them a little bit more, and then sort of suggest where they might fit in the landscape analysis.
Right. I think if you're just asking for Aaron's opinion singularly, and I look at this list, the one that I haven't seen the most data already on is around research, just because research is always, unfortunately, secondarily thought to clinical care. Not that it's any less important, it's just in the context of conversation. So I would think research as a domain and looking at it in totality across the continuum and all the different stakeholders there, that could be something that probably hasn't been too extrapolated upon already in work. But when you look at pre-auth or you look at, you know, business models, a lot of that, I've seen a lot of work already done on it. So I think a little bit of work on each of these would help kind of give us insight as to how current is the data on it that we have.
Okay, good. That's helpful.
Any other comments from the group? All right. Are there any items on this list that folks feel passionate about, though? I mean, I was just giving my personal opinion. Is there anything on here that folks are like, we absolutely need to do a paragraph on this? Okay. All right. Well, Carolyn, if you're good with it, next slide then.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, some of this is going to come up again in our next meetings, so
right.
I think it's not like we're truly done with it forever.
No, it's just the beginning. All right, let's talk about the draft outline for the high-tech progress. Next slide. All right, so high-tech progress in FY19, it's kind of the outline for it with all the different sections. Next slide. And then the meeting and accomplishment statistics for, of course, the full committee of the high-tech. You know, we've had the conditions of maintenance certification requirements, the care continuum task force, information blocking task force, interoperability standards priorities task force, the U.S. core CDI task force, the TEFCA task force, and of course this wonderful work group. next slide. And then, you know, we were trying to talk about what we have actually done, which is a ton of work. I mean, all of us have been involved in countless calls. I think I've done more task force calls in the past year than I probably did in the prior 3 or 4 years as part of the policy committee and the standards committee. But, you know, are there other metrics that we should be tracking in terms of deliverables, things that we want to highlight that the group has done? I mean, you know, Christina, you mentioned before that, you know, you guys had a phenomenal presentation at the ONC annual meeting, you know, around US CDI. Is that something to track as an idea? I mean, all of those bullets, are there other data elements we want to be able to mention? What do you guys think?
Well, I've sort of been pondering the difference between outputs and outcomes, and thinking about how we can meaningfully represent the work using both, but not saying the outcome is the output, if that makes sense. Because, I mean, yeah, we do our work at meetings, but ultimately the goal isn't to hold so many meetings a year or, you know, make so many policy statements. It's to actually get some things done.
Good point. Other comments?
I would agree with Carolyn. It's output. I mean, it would be interesting to look at how many recommendations we've done, but kind of like summaries of the recommendations and why they matter might be helpful. This is kind of the report to Congress so they can see what we're working on. It's like just using my USCDI task force, like the task force wrote recommendations that helped inform ONC what the version one of USCDI should be. I mean, that's a great overview. And just maybe a snapshot of each of the outputs from all the recommendations that we've given within the work groups, that might be helpful. And I don't think that's like big long paragraphs or summaries of recommendations, but kind of like a snapshot. What was the impact of our recommendations?
Yeah, that's a great idea. Or what follow-up task forces are being spun up because of our recommendations?
Yeah, and kind of like what we're thinking through. You know, we're looking at collaboration between the certification task force and ISP and USCDI. Where Carolyn, you mentioned it at the beginning of this meeting. It's like, how do we take all of this work that we're doing and kind of make it so that we're kind of synergizing it all?
Yeah, that's a good point. And you know, last week on National Health IT Week, you know, I had the privilege of being on the panel with Dr. Ann Schuchat, who's the deputy director from CDC, and we actually started talking about interoperability and data elements. And I got to thinking of how great the participation has been from some of the federal agencies on the HITACH and just their collaboration. And are there elements here to highlight of how the federal agencies have helped highlight issues or bring, you know, solutions to bear or ideas that they have that in the private sector could be adopted? I mean, there may be a way here to also highlight, you know, metrics of how we've helped move the needle on the agency side as well, just as a thought.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Christina, Brett, thoughts?
I agree. I think I don't have a strong feeling one way or the other. I like the outputs, and I like sort of maybe resultant outcomes from those outputs. Maybe that's where what you just said, Aaron, kind of falls into that. So then you can kind of follow from year to year, from report to report, the progress of an idea.
Mm-hmm. Okay, something to noodle on. We don't have to solve this today, obviously, but just we need to be thinking about, you know, what are the ways to track and measure and report back. And obviously, whatever we come up with, because this really hasn't been done before, will become part of it for forever. So future groups of HITACHers will thank us, maybe.
Yeah, and as a first step, just that's kind of easy for the team, if we look at just the charge of each task force and put it in the report, recommendations were made for the following task force charges. I mean, that's a nice snapshot. And we've got all that information.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Okay. All right. Shall we go to the next slide then? All right. So before we do this, then, before we go to public comment, are there any other comments from this team? I know today's call was a little bit light because we did all of our heavy lifting the other week, but any other points of questions or comments before we go to public comment? Carolyn, thoughts? Should we go to public comment?
Yeah, I think we can, as long as we're able to do that, given that the time frame is a little bit off of what was published. Are we, is it okay, Seth?
Yeah, we can go to public comment if there's, you know, no more discussion to be had. Operator, can you open the line for public comments, please?
Yes. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your comment is in queue. If you'd like to remove your comment from queue, please press star 2. We will pause for a brief moment while we poll for comments. There are no comments at this time.
Okay, thank you. That will conclude our public comment portion of the agenda. Carolyn or Aaron, any final closing remarks before we adjourn the meeting?
I would just say there's quite a gap before our next meeting. So as Michelle and her team work through some of the research and the things that we've talked about today for the list of emerging issues and other things, perhaps we'll be sending something out by email, you know, for an asynchronous discussion or some review and thoughts about that. So keep an eye on your inbox. But other than that, I'm glad everyone was able to make time today, and I think we're on a good track for doing something useful with all that feedback we got in September.
And I would just echo what Carolyn said. I appreciate you all jumping on the call and talking through it and starting to sort through this, and we're making progress. And Michelle, thank you and the ONC team and everybody behind the scenes doing all the research. So we greatly appreciate your efforts as always.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Okay, great. So just a couple of reminders just before we close the call. One, our next full HITECH meeting is next week on Wednesday, October 16th. And the next meeting of the HITECH Annual Report Work Group is scheduled for Tuesday, November 26th, from 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And for the public listening in, you can find the full calendar of the HITECH meetings and all the materials at healthit.gov. And with that, we will adjourn for the day. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.